Father, thank you for today. Thank you that we can be here on this long weekend to sing your praises. Thank you next week we can go out and serve you around this city. Father, I thank you for your word, and your word speaks to us. And as we continue to journey with you today, I pray, God, that you are going to speak to each one of us as we deal with a topic that all of us deal with. So, Father, thank you for today. Thank you that you're faithful to journey with us. Give us ears to hear what your Spirit wants to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Question for you. Have you ever doubted? The Oxford Dictionary defines doubt as a feeling of uncertainty, questioning the truth or fact of something. Have you ever doubted? 5 years ago this month, this young lady passed into the Lord's presence, Allison Card. It was 5 years ago, hard to believe. Allie Card had a very big place in my wife and my life. We journeyed with her a lot through life and journeyed with her through her cancer battle. And I said to her over and over as she dealt with cancer, I said, Allie, your best days are ahead of you. And as a few weeks before she died, as it became apparent that if there wasn't a miracle, she was going to pass away, I started to wonder, have I been lying to her? Because I've said to her, your best days are ahead of you, and she's about to die. And that took me into a brief season of doubt. Have you been there? Have you ever doubted? A loved one, a child, a parent, a spouse, a friend dies, and that starts you questioning and doubting. You take a course in university and you start to question, because of the information in that course, what you've always believed. You suffer an injustice and you wonder, where is God? And you doubt. You look to other Christ followers and you see how they live and you wonder, is it really real? And you doubt. You pray. And you feel like your words aren't going past the ceiling. And you wonder, what's the point of it all? And you question and you doubt. Have you ever doubted? Have you ever doubted? Let me say this. If you struggle with doubt, you're in good company. All through the Bible, we see people doubting. Peter, Thomas, John the Baptist, Abraham, Job, David. They all had seasons of doubt. And then there's the situation in Matthew 28. Jesus had just risen from the dead, and some women had gone to the tomb, and they found it empty. And let me read to you Matthew 28:8. The verses won't appear on the screen, but just listen to them. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Drop down to verse 16. It says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. They did what Jesus told them to go. Look at verse 17. When they saw him, when the disciples saw the risen Christ, notice they worshiped him, but some doubted. Wait, what? The risen Jesus appears to them, and some worshiped, but some doubted. And what's interesting to me is Matthew doesn't make a big deal about the fact that some doubted. And Jesus didn't disqualify these disciples because some doubted. Because if you read the next few verses, you see in that encounter, Jesus gave his disciples a great commission to go into the world and make disciples. Matthew and Jesus understood something that we need to understand. To doubt is to be human. Here's a dirty little secret, church. Everyone doubts sometimes. Everyone doubts sometimes. We've just learned not to talk about it. We doubt because we live in a world of limits. There are limits, for instance, to our physical strength. Even if you do CrossFit and drink endless kale smoothies, you're eventually going to get the cold. There are limits to our intellect. No matter how much we read and research and study, we still need Alexa and Siri to answer some of our questions. We live in a world of limits. We are finite creatures with limited understanding, and because of that, we doubt. You doubt not because you're a terrible person, not because you're less spiritual than other people. You doubt because you're human. Here's something else we need to know about doubt. Doubt is like Switzerland. You're going, huh? Doubt is like Switzerland. You remember in World War II, Switzerland was a neutral country. It didn't take sides. It was neutral. Doubt is like Switzerland in that it's neutral. Some Christ followers assume that doubt and unbelief are synonymous. They're not. The opposite to faith is not doubt, it's unbelief. Doubt fills the gap between unbelief and belief. It's essentially neutral. It's what you do with your doubts that counts. Doubt will move you towards God or away from God. It will move you towards belief or towards unbelief. Doubt is neutral, but here's the thing about doubt. It'll move you. Doubt will always move you. Doubt will move you towards God or away from Him. It'll move you towards belief or it'll move you towards unbelief. That's why it's what you do with your doubts that matters. And what I've learned in my life, and this is only for my life, your experience may be much different, but here's what I've learned in my life. As I've wrestled with my doubts over the years, I found time and again that I've come out the other side of that wrestling with a stronger, more vibrant, more real faith. I remember standing at Ellie's bedside just before she passed away. And I looked at her, and I said, Allie, I really do believe your best days are ahead of you. You're going to be with Jesus. As I wrestled with what I was saying to her before, I came out of that with a stronger conviction that her best days were ahead of you, were ahead of her. Wrestling with doubts can lead to a deeper, richer, more vibrant, stronger faith. Let me recap where we've been so far. Everyone doubts. To doubt is to be human. Doubt is like Switzerland. It's neutral, but it will move you either towards God or away from God. It's what you do with your doubts that's important. So what should we do with our doubts? How do we handle our doubts? Let me give you some suggestions. First, I think we need to be vulnerable about our doubts. We need to be vulnerable about our doubts. Let's go over to Mark chapter 9 for a minute. In Mark chapter 9, here's the context. Let me give it to you. Jesus, James, John, and Peter were making their way down from a mountain where Peter, James, and John had just seen and experienced the transfiguration of Jesus. When they get to the bottom of the mountain, they see a crowd of people. At the center of this crowd of people are the disciples, and they're involved in an argument with the religious leaders. And Jesus makes his way through the crowd, and he gets to the disciples, and he asks them, "What are you arguing with the religious leaders about?" And at that moment, a man steps out of the crowd, and he looks tired. He looks like he's been carrying a weight for far too long. And he says this, "Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. After looking at the crowd and listening to this father, Jesus says this in verse 19, "O unbelieving generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." Now, we're not exactly sure who Jesus is addressing here, the crowd, the religious leaders, the disciples, all of the above, but clearly he's frustrated. And so this boy is brought to Jesus, and as soon as he gets to Jesus, he falls on the ground and he has a seizure. It was common for demons to act that way in the presence of Jesus. And the crowd watches as this boy convulses. And when the seizure ends, there lies the boy in the dirt. Eyes vacant, face covered with spittle and dirt. And Jesus looks at the boy and then asks the father, "How long has he been like this?" And the father says in verse 21, "From childhood, it has often thrown him into a fire or water to try to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for the one who believes." Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." And then Jesus says in verse 25, "You deaf and mute spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." And the demon shrieks and the boy convulses violently, and then the demon leaves. And the boy lies still. Some think he's dead. Jesus reaches down, takes the boy by the hand and raises him to his feet, and the boy stands up. Imagine how the father felt in that moment. Let's go back to verse 22. The father says, "But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. But if you can." In other words, "I'm not sure you can. I think you might be able to, but I'm not sure." Do you hear the doubt in that statement? And Jesus responds, "If you can, everything is possible for the one who believes." And then the father says, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." Two insights here for us. The first is this. Notice that Jesus didn't send the father away or lecture him because of his less than perfect faith. Rather, Jesus stepped into the brokenness and healed the son. Isn't that awesome? When the best you can do is whisper, "Jesus, if you can, I'm not sure you can, but if you can." When the best you can say is, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief," Jesus meets you right there. Right there. And here's the second insight. Imagine the father for a minute. He's standing in the middle of the crowd. Picture it in your mind. He's looking at Jesus. He's looking at his son lying in the dirt. And in that moment, he's confronted with the tension of belief and unbelief, of hope and despair, of faith and doubt. And in that moment, he chooses to be vulnerable and bring it all to Jesus. He says, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." In other words, "Jesus, I do believe, but not perfectly. Help me overcome my unbelief. I want to believe wholeheartedly, and sometimes I do, and yet sometimes it's difficult." Can you relate to the dad? Have you been in that spot? Again, everyone doubts. It's what you do with your doubt that matters. You can stuff your doubts down inside and pretend they don't exist, or you can choose to be vulnerable and bring them to Jesus. You can say, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to be vulnerable with God about your doubts? Let me also suggest that you should be vulnerable with someone else. Be vulnerable with another person. Have someone journey with you that can journey with you as you wrestle with your doubts, who can be there for you. Are you willing to be vulnerable about your doubts? Now, let me say, I know the church historically and sadly has created a culture where it asks people to check their doubts at the door. Suddenly giving off a message that says, if you're doubting, you don't belong here. And so doubters either stop asking questions or they leave, but they don't stop doubting. Above the door of every church should be a two-word sign, doubters welcome. Here at SBC, we want to encourage you to be vulnerable about your doubts. We want you to be vulnerable about your doubts with Jesus. We want you to be vulnerable about your doubts with other people so you can journey together and wrestle through the doubts you have. How do we handle our doubts? Number one, we need to be vulnerable about them. Here's the second thing. We need to have a good perspective on certainty. Most things that really, really matter in life cannot be proven with absolute certainty. Have you ever thought about that? Take, for instance, the question, is there a God? That is a hugely important question. The answer you give to that question impacts how you think, how you act, your hope, how you live. But that question in itself cannot be proved or disproved with absolute certainty. Thus, when we talk about faith from a Christian perspective, we're talking about having a belief, a trust in something for which we don't have 100% proof. You can't prove God exists 100%. You can't disprove it either. Knowledge will only take you so far, and then you need to exercise faith. I believe we're created that way. Everybody needs to exercise faith. Everyone. The Christ follower who believes in God does so as a matter of faith, but atheists also need to exercise faith. Have you ever thought about that? Their belief that there is no God is exactly that, a belief. And because they cannot prove there is no God with absolute certainty, they also need to exercise faith. The truth of the matter is all theories about the meaning of human existence cannot be proven with absolute certainty. Now, this doesn't mean that they're all equally plausible or probable. I like what C.S. Lewis said about Christianity in his great book, Mere Christianity. He said this, Christianity has exceptionally fine credentials on all counts. Look into them. You can totally commit yourself to the gospel in full confidence as a powerful, credible, profoundly satisfying answer to the mystery of human existence. And down through the ages, billions of people have found what Lewis said to be true. One of the reasons I decided to follow Jesus is I looked at the big story of what Christianity is all about. And when you look at it explains the world. We need to understand that there's an element of faith in life no matter who you are. And so we need to have a good perspective on certainty. Here's the third thing if you want to handle doubts. And here's something that we sometimes struggle with. We have to embrace mystery. We need to embrace mystery. Mystery. Listen, we will never have all the answers. While God has revealed much to us, there's a lot of mystery, and we need to learn to embrace mystery. In a few weeks, I'm going to be 60. That's old. It is. There's no question. You 80-year-olds are going, nah, 60's not old. No, 60's old. Okay, let's just get that over with. But I was reflecting on that reality. And as I reflected on that reality, I realized something. My deepest held beliefs and convictions are smaller and yet firmer than they were 30 years ago. 30 years ago, I thought I had it all figured out, right? 30-year-olds, you know what I'm talking about. You think you got it all figured out. But as you journey through life, you find there's a lot of things you don't have answers to. And today, my faith is much deeper and much stronger than it was 30 years ago. But as I mentioned, my deepest held beliefs and convictions are smaller and yet firmer. And my sense of mystery as I turn 60 is much greater. And I want to say to us as Christ followers, as finite human beings, we have to live and embrace the tension of mystery. Here's the fourth thing you need to do when you deal with your doubts. You need to deepen your faith. If you want to deal with your doubts, you need to deepen your faith. A superficial faith is a vulnerable faith. A superficial faith is a vulnerable faith. It is easily crushed by questions and or circumstances. Let me give you three things that I think are going to be helpful in deepening your faith. Number one is you need to lean into God. You need to deepen your relationship with God. You need to get into His Word. You need to pray. You need to get away with Him. We're going to talk about that next week. You need to deepen your relationship with God. We're doing a whole summer sermon series this year called CrossFit, where we're going to give you tools each week that will help you deepen your relationship with God. As your relationship with God goes deeper, it helps address those doubts that you have. Secondly, I would tell you to learn in the areas you doubt. Go study what you're doubting. If it's evolution and creation, study it. If it's whatever you're doubting, go study it. Learn, wrestle with it, study it. We don't like to wrestle with things today. Wrestle with your doubts. Go study what you're doubting about. And third, I would say live. Step out in faith. Let's go back to our story in Mark 9. The father, as we saw in that story, acted on the little bit of faith he had, and he brought his son to Jesus. Even though he had doubts, the father stepped out and trusted Jesus with the little bit of faith he had. And that little bit of faith allowed Jesus to act. If the father had not stepped out, Jesus would not have been able to act. When people step out in faith, God acts. We see that all through the scripture. When people step out in faith, God acts. Now, I'm going to read into the story of Mark 9. This is my subjective opinion. Take it for what it's worth. But I think Jesus casting the demon out of his son would have caused greater faith in that father, which would have caused the father to step out with even greater faith. When we step out in faith, when we trust Jesus, your faith allows Jesus to act. And His acting will increase your faith, which will cause you to step out and trust Jesus in greater ways with greater amounts of faith. And the circle just keeps going around and around. Your faith allows Jesus to act, and His acting will increase your faith, which will cause you to step out and trust Jesus in greater ways with greater faith. So where do you need to step out in faith? Do you have doubts? Are you struggling? Here are some concepts to remember. To doubt is to be human. Everyone doubts. Don't beat yourself up because you're doubting. It's what you do with your doubts that matters. Be vulnerable. Embrace mystery. Deepen your faith. Lean into God. Deepen your relationship with Him. Learn about what you're doubting about. Wrestle with your doubts. Live. Step out in faith. It's okay to step out in faith and trust Jesus, even though you haven't got it all figured out. Sure, you may have questions. Sure, you may have doubts. Jesus doesn't expect you to have it all figured out. He simply wants you to be like that Father. He wants you to come to Him openly, honestly, trusting Him with whatever level of faith you have. Listen, Jesus calls the doubters and the confused and the skeptical to come to Him. In fact, God used a group of doubters to change the world. Jesus wants you to bring yourself and your doubts to Him. Don't let your doubts or what you consider to be your small amount of faith to hold you back from making a decision to follow Jesus. Step out in faith and trust Him. Don't let your doubts stop you from being open to being used by Him. Jesus wants to take the little bit of faith you have, and He wants to move through you. As the worship team comes up, I want to close by telling you a story. In 1822, a young woman named Charlotte Elliott was visiting some friends in London, England. At dinner, Charlotte met a minister named Cesar Malin. And over supper, Cesar asked Charlotte if she was a Christ follower. When she replied to him that she didn't really want to talk about it, Cesar said, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend you. But I want you to know that Jesus can save you if you will turn to Him." Several weeks later, the two met again, and Charlotte told Cesar that she'd been trying to come to Jesus, but she didn't know how. Cesar said this to her, "Just come to Him as you are." Taking his advice, Charlotte composed a poem that begins this way: "Just as I am, without one plea, that thy blood was shed for me. And thou biddest me to come, O Lamb of God, I come, I come." In 1849, William Bradbury set the words of Charlotte's poem to music, and it became one of the most beloved hymns of all time. Billy Graham used to close all his crusades with the hymn, "Just as I Am." The third verse of this hymn contains really Charlotte's testimony. Listen to it. She said, "Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come." The last verse contains the great gospel promise. "Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. Because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come." Charlotte came to Jesus despite her doubts, despite everything else. She came to Jesus. That father in the story did the same thing. My question is, will you come to Him today with your doubts, with your skepticism, with your questions, with your uncertainties? Will you come to Him?